to Terragard, a world of adventure.
Atos, come and face me!
Of heroes.
Elroy! Jump!
Of battle. Of monsters. Welcome to Terragard Tales, Season 1, The Lunar Sundering, written and narrated by D.S. Tierney. Birth of the Banyu, Part 1. Elna remembered happiness as a taste of color, a sliver of vibrance against her tongue screaming of life. Each recollection was neatly assigned in her memory and categorized. Playing with the tribe's babies on a warm summer day was yellow. The first drops of rain after the parching season were blue. The hiss of hunted meat spit over a fire as its smell wafted forth was red, flecked with bits of orange. The colors helped her hold on to these meager few remembrances, while all others washed away beneath the gray maelstrom of the world she once knew. Swirls of ash fell in sweeping drifts around her, a blanket of perpetual night draped across the sky, broken only by the occasional burning tree or river of fire beneath the blistering soil. The world was in pain, and the heavens screamed with purple arcs of lightning that bit down in frightening cadence. How long had these storms raged? Elna could not give an answer. Strong winds buffeted her, wrestling against her desire to move forward, making each step an unwinnable battle. She closed her eyes, mostly to keep the ash out, but in the darkness, her mind wandered back. On the last evening the world existed, the night skies were deep purple and spotted with the spirits of the tribe looking down from their glittering perch. The Great Mother, largest of the spirits, watched over the tribes, but her brilliant blue eye had begun its cycle of darkening. This was a time Elna hated. It meant the Great Mother's mischievous son would grow in fullness. When that pockmarked red eye opened fully, the tribe would hide in their tents, or risk drawing the attention of the impish lout. But that night was not this one. Tonight, the last hunt of the year concluded with a spectacular bounty, enough to keep the tribe fed through the dreary days when the cold came. A celebration began as the hunters marched around camp, displaying their kills. Music, dance, and feasting ensued, quieting only when old Mother Ardentra spoke.
"This year, the sparrows outnumbered the crows. Peace shall continue to bless the archipelago for another year."
It was true. The many tribes of the great fields lived in harmony. Scuffles broke out, as was natural, when the mischievous sun held some in his sway. But the tribes learned to hunt together, feast, and even mate. All save the malignant figures to the west. The raven dwellers were harbingers of evil in tattered robes that mimicked the look of blackbird feathers. They crept through the night to steal children from the tribes. What they did with them, no one knew. No child ever returned, and those who went looking for them did not either. From the Raven Dwellers, there would be no peace, nor treaty. When a tribe saw them on the horizon, they hid as if the mischievous sun took form and walked the world. The tribe screamed as a bright flash filled the sky. The edges of the mischievous sun burned, trembled, and shattered. Great great streaks of fire fell and shook the world. What trickery was the child up to? The promise of morning never came, just darkened skies and an unending storm of ash. How long had it been? To Elna, it felt like many turnings of the Great Mother. If her eye beheld the destruction her mischievous child wrought, she would fix it, wouldn't she? Yet the ashfall continued without the mother's intervention. Elna trudged through drifts of ash, some as deep as her thighs. How long could she continue? Why did she continue? A small shred of tanned hide covered her face, keeping the worst of the ash from choking her, but a thick layer caked around her eyes, threatening to blind her. Through the harsh experience of survival, Elna learned that wiping it away only made it worse, smearing it with rivers of sweat that burned. It was best to shake it away when she could, but she had little energy for such actions now. Her throat was parched, begging for water she didn't have. Who knew the darkness could be so feverish? Elna crossed a path in the ash, and her heart grew hopeful, but the trail left behind matched hers perfectly. How big of a circle had she walked? How many circles? The hidden root caught her foot, and Elna fell face first into the ash. Goose flesh rose on her skin, and her muscles screamed, but the voice of rest called loudest, and she remained there, thinking of the color green. Green like sweeping hills of grass, green like the eyes of Matei, a fierce, loyal warrior, and her love. She would have bore him many of his children, enough for him to become the next chief. But he died with the storms, coughing out giant globs as dark as night. Many others fell the same way, and as the chief grew sickly, he knew they could not remain. And so the tribe left their fields and walked toward what they assumed was the northern mountains. Who could tell without the spirits of the night sky to guide them? Somewhere in the unending gray, Elna lost the others. Her childhood friend, Gessa, was a few steps ahead, and then she wasn't. Elna screamed, but the winds were louder. She cried, but the storm did not care. She trudged on alone until now. Face down in the ash, she would wait to die. Would her spirit find its way through the storm to join the others in the night sky? Yes. Matei would be waiting to guide her. A scream, distorted and muffled, cut through the storm. Filled with the color of hope, a bright blue as endless as the skies once were, Elna pushed herself to her knees and listened. It came again to her left. Could it be the tribe? Elna stood on shaky legs and walked. It felt so much harder to do now than before, but her desire to reunite with the others would not allow her to succumb to exhaustion. The hide wrappings around her feet were caked with mud and ash, adding weight she could barely manage. But removing them would mean stopping, and Elna knew there would not be another start. The ground hidden beneath the drifts was flat until it wasn't. Right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. The cadence of her steps calmed her as she listened for more cries, but none came. Right foot, left foot. Had she gone the wrong way? The winds whipped every which way. Perhaps she was moving further from the tribe. Right foot, left foot. Elna considered turning back, but the thought sickened her. Right foot. Where her left foot should have found purchase, it found none. Her legs sank awkwardly into the ash until she felt the steep angle of a hillside that pulled her down. Elna slid feet first, the earth displacing on either side. She tried to scream, but her dry throat only managed a weak, strangled sound. The flap of hide over her mouth and nose came free and disappeared. The storm assaulted her nose, choking her with its putrid stench. Elna covered her face with a filthy hand as her right heel caught the edge of a stone. Pain vibrated through her body as she pitched forward and cartwheeled along the rest of the slope. Limbs flailing, she punched herself across the right eye before she landed face first at the bottom. A lightning bolt of energy surged through her as she stood, patting herself down, imagining the worst. But the injuries were nothing more than bumps and bruises. Lucky. The cry sounded again, a long, sonorous whine through the gloom. Elna wanted to shout a response, but without the flap of hide, the ash only choked her when she opened her mouth. Lowering her head and squeezing her eyes shut, each step was tentative, wary of another slope hidden below the surface. To her right, a tree burned, casting odd patterns of light through the swirling storm. Elna could tell it was on level with her, giving her the confidence to quicken the pace. The sound was strangled, rising and falling with the wind. Elna almost missed the body, slumped beneath a slope of ash. With animalistic ferocity, she fell to her knees and dug, revealing a thick fur cloak. Why anyone needed to wear such a thing in this heat was beyond her understanding, but perhaps that was why they collapsed. As Elna dug deeper, the body shifted and growled. Recoiling, her hand slipped through the snapping jaws of a wolfhound. The hound leapt to its feet and danced back a few steps, betraying the limp in its front left leg. Four sets of golden eyes emerged from the storm and surrounded the injured wolf. The new wolves snapped at Elna with the promise of making her their next meal, once they finished with this one first. The four wolves stepped in time around their injured counterpart. Had it been their alpha? Packs often turned on such beasts when they proved fallible. The motivations of wolves were beyond her understanding. All she knew was she needed to act. Elna sloughed her way through the ash, legs tired and back aching. It was as close to a run as she could achieve. The burning tree smoldered as hunks of wood fell. There was no time to wrap her hand and nothing to wrap it with if she wanted to. Reaching down, she grasped the charred end of a burning branch and swallowed the scream rising in her throat. The pain shocked her back to a state of acute perception, and she felt every nick burn, scrape, and pull through her body. She could feel the ash in her chest and taste it coating the back of her throat. Following the path back to the wolves, she struck the first across the hind quarter and reveled in the pain of its yelp as it darted into the darkness. The others stalked close, trying to flank her, but she chased two more off with wide sweeps of fire. The last lunged in, but she brought the branch down on its head, singeing its fur. It rolled beneath the ash, trying to extinguish the flames, and then ran off to join the others. Elna dropped the burning branch and blew on her hands. The injured wolf whined, its body shaking under its own weight. Blood trickled through its fur, clumping as it mixed with the detritus of the storm. Elna reached out a hand and it snarled, backing away. "So be it," she whispered and continued walking. Elna needed shelter, and soon. Without the hide across her face, the swirling dust and debris would kill her. Elna held an arm across her face, burying her nose and mouth in the crook of her elbow. But even so simple an act as this was too tiring to maintain. The color black should have been death. But no. Death now belonged to the color gray. The color that killed the world around her. The wolf scrambled past and barked as it disappeared. It returned, looked at her, and then limped back into the dark, barking. Did it want her to follow? Elna was skeptical, but lowered her head. Stepping in the path, the wolf left behind. Maybe it knew a place and wanted to repay her. Perhaps it was leading her to an early death, wherein it would feast upon her before something bigger came along and devoured it. At least it would mark an end to the struggle. Red was the color of her blood on the beast's muzzle. Or had red been assigned to something else? she could not recall. Elna would have counted her footsteps had she known what came past the 10th finger. Instead, she passed the time thinking of an elder's spirit with each step. Tirog, Bandur, Graka, Grake, Malnu, Malna, Baru, Malno. A part of her wanted them to hear her silent prayers, to take pity, save her, or accept her into their pantheon. The other part yearned for something other than death. Pebbles rolled down a slope Elna didn't know she was climbing. The layer of ash was thinner here and blew away as quickly as it fell. Was she still following the wolf? She hadn't heard it bark in a while. The answer came immediately as more stones slipped down the slope, followed by the wolf. With its injured leg, it couldn't climb as it once had and slid down. It tried again, and this time rolled over onto its back. The pathetic look it gave her was not one she had ever seen from a wolf. The beast whimpered. Elna looked up the slope, glimpsing briefly a glimmering light between some rocks. She continued climbing without the wolf, its cries drowning in the wind. Between sweeps of dust, she saw it again, the faint blush of crimson on the dark face of stone. It wasn't far, but the slope was steep, and she needed to choose her way carefully, lest she slide back to join the wolf. Closer and closer she went, until the outline of a cave's mouth presented itself. Shelter. There it was. Elna tempered the nervous excitement and willed it away. Now was not the time for stupid mistakes. One final step and she pulled herself onto a landing in front of the cave, sucking in dank air, blessedly free of ash. Elna crawled deeper into the maw, following the glow of light that drew her. Water trickled from the cave walls and dripped from hanging stones. It felt glorious against her skin. She pressed her face against the cool, wet stone and opened her mouth, letting water wet her lips. It wasn't enough. She licked the walls, ignoring the foul taste of stone as crisp streams of water slid over her tongue and into her throat. So cold, so beautifully cold. Her throat contracted under the sudden change in temperature, and she coughed before vomiting the stream of black bile. The sickness felt never-ending, but eventually there was nothing left to come out, and she took a deep breath. Elna raised herself to her knees and squeaked out, "Hello? Hello?" The wind howled as water trickled around, but no one answered. She stood and stumbled forward a few steps, leaning her tired frame against the slick stone surface. The light was not from a fire, but a deep fissure at the back of the cave that flowed with pools of lava. She was alone here. "Not alone," she admitted, imagining the whining call of the wolf. She could leave it there. Before long, it would stop whining. Without her help, it would not make it up the slope. It didn't want my help, that was what she told herself. But it had led her here all the same. If it wants to live, it can climb.
It can't.
The voices of all the elders she so lovingly recited answered. Elna relented and readied herself to re-enter the storm. If the wolf wouldn't accept her help this time, then the elders would just have to understand. She did not relish stepping back into the howling winds, slapping hot dust against her cheeks. Even this brief respite in the cave let her forget the feel of that wind scouring her face. Not long, she thought, as she slid down the slope, letting gravity pull her. They would need the energy she saved to carry the wolf back up, a feat she was not sure she was at all capable of. When Elna reached the wolf, it was half covered in ash and glancing up with one eye gummed shut. It was a languid movement, showing the beast's growing weakness. Elna knelt in front of it, and this time it did not recoil or protest when she reached out. Perhaps it knew she wanted to help, or else it no longer had the strength to fight and revert to its true predatory nature. Elna lifted the wolf, which felt surprisingly gaunt, and situated it upon her shoulder as it curled around the back of her neck. It was as Matei had done with the many pronghorn he felled on his hunts. How magnificent he had appeared, striding back to camp with the sweat glistening on his bare chest, a bloodied beast slung over his shoulders with the setting sun framing his chiseled form. It was in true counterpoint to the wretched state she imagined herself to be in, sullied by filth from a storm of death. The wolf whimpered as it jostled, but it would just have to bear that pain. Their journey had just begun. Elna took each step carefully, digging away stones and dirt with the tip of her foot to give enough purchase to climb. The wolf, which felt so light at first, grew heavier with the climb. Her thighs screamed with each new step until she wanted to collapse and let the storm devour them. But the beckoning glow of the cave called to her, with its cool walls and streams of water. Elna pushed past the pain and ascended. Falling to her knees inside the cave, she felt her skin tear against the stone. The wolf barely moved as she leaned back to let it slump against the cave wall. Water ran through a channel midway up the wall. Elna used the lip to pull herself to her feet and then stared into the stream. The reflection staring back was grotesque and unrecognizable. The flow ran through the shallow channel, emanating from a crack in the stone to her left and ending just an arm's length to her right, where it disappeared into another crack. Careful to keep the water clean, she gently washed her shaking hands in the cool, clear water, watching as the grime slipped along the surface, disappearing into the dark. Deeper in the water, she discovered a cupped piece of shale that she pulled free. Studying it, she came to realize it wasn't natural. The piece of stone showed craftsmanship. The chisel marks along the belly of the bowl formed a scaled pattern. It looked similar to the clay bowls her mother made. Someone had lived here, but whoever they were long gone. There were no other remnants of people. Elna sighed and used the shallow bowl to scoop water from the basin, nearly shrieking at the cool kiss it gave as she poured it over her head. Puddles of filth washed down her body and trickled along the floor. After a few scoops, she took the next over to the wolf, who raised its head at her approach. Elna knelt and put the bowl under its snout. Its nostrils flared and it licked the moisture from her clean hand before going to work on what was in the bowl. After it finished, she took a moment to clean the wolf, taking time to wash the grime out of the fur around its wounds. The beast bared its teeth, but then lowered its head in shame when Elna clucked. "I'm helping you," she scolded. It wouldn't respond or even understand the words, but it made her feel less alone to have something, someone to talk to.
"How kind,"
a deep, graveled voice said. Elna stood, terror running through her veins. She could hear the wolf's low growl as the stones at the back of the cave shifted. The soft glow darkened from the gloom, and a great red dragon's head appeared.
"Hello, little one," the great dragon said.
Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for part two of Birth of the Banyu. To remain up to date on TerrorGuard Tales releases, please follow me on Twitter at dstierney1 or go to my website at www.dstierney.com. www.thesparrowsoutnumberedthepeople.com. If you enjoyed the episode, please leave a 5-star rating and review. And if you would like to help support the podcast, please consider joining the Terror Guard Tales Patreon page, where members can join and receive bonus Q&A episodes, as well as a bonus story episode per season. Terror Guard Tales, all characters, locations, stories, and content are copyright 2019 and cannot be used or distributed without express permission.